Janice Jorgensty introducing tenor Ben Webster on Blue Light. This was recorded in Copenhagen in 1965. Now, during the break, we will hear some more from John Darville on trombone. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And what a day. What a difference a day makes, really. Yesterday after the program, I thought I would have myself a little nap, which went kind of long, and I was awakened by a phone call from a friend telling me about this disastrous event, and it was as if, my gosh, what is going on in the world? This act of terror, we were told by the mayor of the city of New York, in Lower Manhattan in the shadows of the World Trade Center. This attack occurred yesterday, just after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the attack left 8 people dead and 12 other people who were injured. According to the mayor of the city of New York, Mayor Bill de Blasio, he called it an act of terror and a particularly cowardly act of terror aimed at innocent civilians. The gruesome handiwork was done by Saifullah Saipov, an Uzbekistani national who emigrated to the United States 7 years ago. He survived being shot by a police officer after he mowed down his victims with a rented truck. He underwent surgery and remains in police custody, although it's reported that he was proud of his work. The attack is said to be the largest terrorist attack committed in the United States since the Al-Qaeda-directed September 11, 2001 suicide attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon that claimed almost 3,000 lives. But is this, I'm asking, are these acts of terror or are they something else? And I think it's about time we become, that we get, you know, honest about this kind of violence that we've been experiencing, especially of late, as if to indicate that there will be no end anytime soon. But I'm concerned about how we are being conditioned to regard these events. And we are conditioned to regard these events as acts of terrorism. And they truly are acts of terrorism, but not just acts of terrorism. Today, the Daily News is talking about the fact that, you know, the city has pretty much girthed itself and, you know, is facing down this event as brave, good soldiers would in the aftermath of a tragedy. The city is holding fast. The news organizations are doing their work, telling a story that may not be true. That New Yorkers are a hardy set of people. It takes a lot to break them down, and basically, emotionally, they are on the rebound. This was perhaps meant to immobilize them emotionally or psychologically, but it hasn't. So they're doing their job, their rah-rah job, keeping everybody in good spirits, in fighting mode, except they're not fighting. They're expected to be showing all the signs of the typical and legendary New Yorker. You know, even rough times will have rough times pulling them down. The reason I ask the question is so that we can, for ourselves, we can check our thinking about these things, these terms that are very, very frequently used, but I don't think accurately used. They are meant to create in our minds a set psychological reaction, an emotional reaction. When the word terrorist is used, well, I think we know what the code word or the code words are that are not spoken. And we should come to terms with these things now. We are sufficiently exposed to decipher what is meant when people say terrorists. This is an act of terrorism. You wouldn't have to see the assailant. You wouldn't have to physically confront the terrorist. Even if you just were to hear it on the radio, you already instantly, you configure in your mind Muslim. Don't you? Don't we? Muslim. And very often it turns out to be true that the actor or actors in question are in fact Muslim, but not regular Muslims. These are radical Muslims. These are really evil Muslims. Well, that is surprising when you look at the record of terrorism, even on U.S. soil, by U.S. citizens. None of them are Muslim. When you look at the record, other than the ones that are now said to be terrorists in the way that they mean it, in the double speak, I looked up some of the historical records on terrorism, domestic terrorism. And I could find awful examples of awful things that people did that were really, really reprehensible. One entry talks about, going back to the 1700s, by the way. People responsible, they list the cause of the terror, and you wouldn't be surprised to see the word genocide show up. All directed at indigenous people in the early 1700s to mid 1700s, wiping out entire villages by way of genocide. It's on the record. We even had an instance in which Mormons, good God-fearing Mormons, killed off 120 people and took their children and converted them to the faith. You had terrorism by the Democratic Ku Klux Klan. You had mass slaughter by scalping. I'm not making it up. Look it up. You'll see. You even had, as in the case of Tulsa, Oklahoma, you had bombing of this entire black neighborhood that was said to have more millionaires per square mile than any other place in the United States. A totally self-sufficient town. And by the way, more than 300 people killed. So there's terrorism and then there's terrorism. They're terrorists and then they're terrorists. But we have been sufficiently conditioned to accept the word means Muslim, a radical Muslim. We didn't even have to see this man. I certainly didn't have to see him. But the news kept reporting of a terrorist attack. And the person has been shot and taken to the hospital. I knew he was Muslim. So I then said to myself, now, why am I so easily persuaded to adopt the language of the authorities? Why is that happening to me? I mean, I'm a fairly intelligent person. And I'm not denying at all that this was in fact an act of terror. But it was not just an act of terror. You see, we should now begin to demand more efficient language when these things come up. I'm going to argue the case that many things being called acts of terror in our time are in fact acts of war. They're not just terroristic acts. They are acts of war. And now this takes the discussion into a whole different realm, because it now puts before us, and we can't avoid it when we say it's an act of war, that we have in play actions, sometimes horrific actions, being conducted as in the name of war. So this young man from Uzbekistan, who killed 8 people, injured 12 people, and literally terrorized the city for a minute, was acting like a soldier, was acting like somebody who had been recruited into a warlike situation. That's what we have with the United States and the so-called terrorist groups. This is not just a bunch of guys. These are organized people. They're organized militarily. They are armed militarily. They're conducting business as an independent entity, as their own nation, if you will. So they have to be regarded and treated in the same way you would treat any other nation. They are a nation at war. Now, they don't have a land. They have, this is the point I'm getting to. We cannot admit the fact that what is happening, like yesterday's event, they are conducting and have been conducting an asymmetrical war. Nothing that they're doing, or practically nothing that they're doing or have done, fits the war manual. But it is nevertheless war. They're doing all kinds of crazy things. But they, in fact, are a nation at war. Now, the word terrorist is used by their enemies to subdue the reaction in their respective citizenries, so to calm the people down. It is bad enough, say yesterday, to know that one person caused all this damage and struck fear and terror in the hearts of a city. But could you imagine if that person were actually recognized for what, in fact, he actually did? He acted in accordance with the orders he was given. He's a soldier fighting an asymmetrical war. Now, you might feel a little better calling him a terrorist, because you already have acclimated yourself into thinking about terrorists and terrorism with the information supplied, not just by the military and the government, but a very willing and cooperative media. They will not discuss this as an act of war, but they will discuss it as an act of terror. Well, even if they do, I'm saying for us, it is important that we revise the nomenclature for ourselves to truly understand what is going on here. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Al-Shabaab, and whatnot, these organizations, in fact, are functioning as states, nation states. They have their own philosophy. They have their own credo. They have their own sources of revenue. And they have embarked upon a war. We refuse to understand that. We think of them as a bunch of guys with heavy equipment, lusting for murder and aiming their guns at the West. They consider everybody else except themselves as infidels, and that gives them the right to just inflict all kinds of punishment that you would find in a war. Their war, to simplify it as we understand it, is to establish a caliphate, to establish the strictest form of Islam, to convert everybody, every country, to their belief system. And they're willing to fight for that. But we are not accustomed to regarding, as a nation, people who don't have their own country, because this is the meaning of asymmetrical. They're everywhere. It's just like what the internet did to revolutionize our concept about, well, if you're writing, obviously you need a piece of paper. No, you don't. The internet just killed that off. You don't have to worry about writing things down. That's what this thing allows us to do. It revolutionized communication. In a way, you could say it's asymmetrical in that sense, that it put before us a whole new range of things that we can do without having to have a brick and mortar office, without having to have, go down every day to the post office to mail your letter. You can sit in your home, in the comfort of your home, and do all these things because the mechanisms have been totally revolutionized. This is what these groups have done. They have revolutionized warfare. So now, any thought of warfare involving organized platoons with their commander, with army barracks, with this, that's not what exists now in this world. They don't have to have any of that. I'll give you an example which we experienced just October the 4th in Niger. We got the news that four members of an elite unit were killed in Niger. And we got the news because one officer in particular, Sergeant Johnson, was killed in the line of duty, and it took 48 hours to retrieve his body because the firefight was so intense. Well, we were not told at all, it wasn't mentioned at all, that the unit to which he was attached was in any way involved in active warfare. They were said to be there for training purposes and to offer advice. Advice and training. But nonetheless, they had all the doodads of modern warfare. But here's the point I want to make. Here they are in Niger, fully equipped with all the resources of an army. They are, in fact, at war. And we have learned since that the United States is building a $100 million installation to house drones that would cover the region. So you had this well-organized group. And they are proceeding clandestinely because it was not known in the United States exactly. We didn't even know they were there. Nor did we know exactly what they were doing there. Not even people in Congress, not even people on the Armed Forces Committee. They certainly were a secret group operating way below the radar. Here is the point I wanted to make. So they have all the resources of an army, a military unit. They have all of that available to them. And yet they came under heavy fire by some guys on motorbikes. Such is the nature of war. Such is the nature of a different kind of war. Now, you wouldn't look at them and think they belong to any organized military group engaged day to day in heavy fighting with U.S. forces. You would never think that. They are outgunned. They are outmanned. They're even outmaneuvered in many ways. But they nevertheless are operating under the understanding that they're soldiers in a war. Regardless of what we think, regardless of how we see them, regardless of our opinion, they're at war. Now, it is convenient to call them terrorists because that, in fact, is what they do as part of their objective in war, to inflict terrorism. In the same way that the United States does it, in the same way that China does it, in the same that all these other countries do it. The whole point of warfare is to instill fear and trepidation in the enemy. So we have been at war. We have been at war. And these acts of terrorism are actually acts of warfare conducted in whatever venue. They are related to the same objective. There are a bunch of people who intend to get something done. And they have committed their lives to it. They don't care what people think. They have in their heads the right to do what they are doing. And they don't care what you call them. But you could continue to fool yourself into thinking we're just a bunch of people who will pop up from time to time, you know, do some bad things and then disappear. But no, if we really understand what is going on, they are conducting asymmetrical warfare. This is not your standard warfare. This is asymmetrical warfare. Finding all kinds of unorthodox ways to achieve their objective. Do you know, for example, tomorrow we may find out that a whole bunch of people, a whole platoon of people, young men, on skateboards, carrying bombs in backpacks, blew up a whole bunch of places in the city and elsewhere. Does it matter that they're on skateboards? Does it make them different? No. They are conducting warfare. So does it matter if the guy is renting a truck and the truck is the weapon? And you think he's a terrorist? No, he's conducting warfare. He is a soldier in a very unorthodox form of warfare. So all this time that we choose to place a label so as to feel more comfortable with the idea that we know who they are, we really don't know who they are. We use the term so that people can say, ah, that's what it is. He's a terrorist. But really and truly, did we ever suspect soldiers to, in warfare, in asymmetrical warfare, to board a couple of planes and direct the planes into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon? Do you think that's just terrorism? That's asymmetrical warfare. All this time, warfare is being conducted. And the same with the United States. The United States has not shaped up its asymmetrical warfare fast enough. So it will call these people terrorists because they haven't been able to beat them at their game. They have revolutionized warfare completely, making a lot of all these expenditures that they have made in getting bigger tanks and bigger warships and bigger bombs. They have gone low tech. Motorbikes, young people, trucks, vehicles, and they are achieving the nefarious objectives. I'm saying change your mind about what is happening. It is not just an act of terrorism that we are witnessing. We are witnessing warfare, asymmetrical, very atypical, radically different, but it's all about war. And I really resent it when the people ought to know. I mean, the people in charge, I mean, ought to know what it is. I think they do know. But they will not allow themselves to admit that these so-called acts of terror were actually acts of warfare in which the so-called enemy actually won. They scored points. Are we as a country ready to admit that? Are we as a country ready to admit that despite all these billions of dollars in expenditures to get bigger and better weapons, more lethal weapons, that in fact we are being bested by the other side, which is very much low-tech. Low-tech warfare, and it is making a dent. Look how long it took to get them out of Raqqa and all of the places that they had invaded and taken over. Slow. The U.S. was very slow to get hip to the idea of asymmetrical warfare. It still is not ready for asymmetrical warfare. And that is why the so-called terrorists have flourished. Their methods, their low-grade, low-tech methods have been very effective. We have a young man in a hospital bed in New York City who is recuperating from a gunshot wound and is thrilled about the fact that with a truck, he was able to dispatch 8 people, wound many others, 12 others, and put a city in a state of panic. No military training. He doesn't belong to any particular platoon. He doesn't have a supervisor. He's just taking orders, having committed himself to be a member of an organization that has a plan to establish a caliphate, perhaps all caliphates all over the world. You can't get more low-tech than that. So, I'll take your questions at 888-874-4888, questions and comments. But I will wrap up this little idea that I want to put before you today, that it is important for ourselves to decipher what is real and what is not real, and to not just borrow the language. The language is meant to condition us, to subdue us, so that we don't see yesterday's event, I should say, as an act of war committed by a very unlikely soldier and facing down a mighty enemy on the basis that they have learned ways in which to win using asymmetrical, unorthodox methods. So we'll take the short break and come back to your questions. And if we get any questions or comments sooner than that, we just forego the break altogether and go ahead with your end of the discussion at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm talking about the change we have to make. We ourselves have to make it to remind ourselves of the reality that we're living in. And when these kinds of things happen, as happened yesterday, there is a vulnerability. And we look to the authorities to tell us what the truth is, and they never will. They'll never tell us what the truth is. Because it will really cause a great deal of panic. And so they have to keep the people calm and give us the confidence that we know what a terrorist is. We will set aside the record of terrorism by the government and by actors on U.S. soil, Americans doing horrific things to other Americans. And that there's a long history then of terrorism. Interestingly, if you look up a history of terrorism, you would see that in the 1700s and going into the 1800s and 1900s, but so much terrorism were acts of war by the U.S. government. Acts of war. Genocide. Acts of war. But we would not claim that. The history of the United States and terrorism will never be publicly acknowledged. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Idris. How you doing?
Okay. How about you?
Well, just hanging in just like you. I just wanted to say hello to all your listeners, fans out there. Yeah. Listen, yesterday when that happened, I just wanted to tell you, I just moved a few months ago from the west side to the east side, to the 20th, okay? And I just wanted to tell you that yesterday I went out and I took the bus. I'm on 23rd Street, and then when I got to Fifth Avenue, I realized that people on the street, they were panicking. And I'm going to tell you what they did. As you know the city very well. So this thing happened in Tribeca. I'm all the way on between 1st and 2nd Avenue on the lower 20th, okay? Mm-hmm. When I came back an hour later, I was on Fifth Avenue. It was about maybe 5 o'clock. Let me tell you, the people, they, these sirens, these cops, all these things, they closed First Avenue. They closed 23rd between the FDR Drive and Second Avenue. And besides what happened, I think the government is trying to make people scared. I mean, you have to see what was happening here on the east side, that it has nothing to do with what happened in Tribeca. That is completely on the west side of the island. And I just noticed, with me, I don't see it how people see it. I just don't. I just went on my business like nothing had happened. I just saw people like almost like crazy crossing the street. The cops in every avenue on 23rd Street directing traffic. And you saw tons of cops in both directions. And I'm just saying, I was like, this is almost seems like a war zone. That's what it seems like. Yesterday in down here. And I wanted to say something. What is the difference between what Dylan did in that church, killing those people, and what this gentleman did? And another thing that I wanted to say, that's a question for you. I just wanted to say this as the end of this conversation. You know, I don't see that as an act of terrorism. I see this as an act of revenge. As long as this government goes out there and kill all these brown and black people, they creating a farm or people that they wanted to take revenge, and they're coming. And I always have told people, they are coming. So we just have to fasten our seatbelt. They're coming. That's what I have to say today.
Well, thank you so much for your call today. I talk about this a lot, the question that you raise. And this is a question for all of us to ask and answer. We should struggle with it until we come up with a reasonable answer. These acts of terrorism, there is terror involved, and it is unavoidable. But my point is, at the same time, take a look at the history of terrorism in the United States by Americans on Americans, and also take a look at where we are now, where we still are. The military, as big as it is not keeping up with these guys because they're into getting more and bigger and better stuff to kill people. But the response is on the low-tech end of things, and they're quite efficient. That's for sure. Thanks for your call, Ali. Peter from Florida, you're on the air.
Hi. I hope I have a decent connection. I'm in Florida. Maybe I'm thinking I wanted to see you one of these days and buy you lunch. I can't say everything on the phone here now. There's not enough time. I would make notes. I don't know what the question is really right now, but I want to look at the big picture. We're always talking about all these are all symptoms.
Hello?
Well, you're still there. Okay.
Yes.
I want to look at the big picture, what's behind it. You know, this whole thing, playing groups, divide and conquer, the whole picture. Because, and this is a black audience here, of course, mostly.
It's not a mostly black audience. This is a very, very diverse audience.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean that. Okay, so... But we're being played, and I'm looking more what's behind it, and the big picture, depopulation, all that kind of thing. So there's so much more at play, and just these are just symptoms here, these attacks and all that. So I would really like to talk about that one day, to put it all in one perspective,
All right.
And I can't do that on a call like that,
Well, I would advise you to do some homework, just the same.
I will make notes, and that way I know what to talk about. You can't do it in call.
Narrow down your focus a bit. That would help. But,
sure,
but
something.
Keep in tune with us and stay tuned with us and share your thoughts in the forum that we have on Fridays, especially. And you may find that you may get some interesting feedback on what you're thinking and what you have found. Okay, thanks, Peter, for your call. Bruce from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrecht. Hello, Utrecht.
Yes.
Yeah, Bruce here. Yeah, I find it rather interesting, your characterization of this war. The United States government has always considered themselves at war with Islam or terrorism or whoever, the number of ways that they've put it. But your idea about this coincides with the ideas of Chen Wisi, a Nigerian scholar. I mean, you must have known him. He used to be 30 years ago. He used to be burning up the campuses around here. Chen Wisi, Nigerian. He's an activist, a scholar. But he considers, for instance, the slave period, the slave epoch, as a war that was conducted between Europe and Africa, and he thinks that the majoritarian the established narrative that slavery was something other than warfare, than outside of the context of warfare, is wrong. You know, he has not done enough work to overthrow the establishment thinking. But I see your thinking, you know, dovetailing with his mindset on this issue. And you too may very well be right, because the establishment slavery narrative doesn't explain a number of things, you know. And the narrative that this is a terrorist situation, you know, misses key. I mean, how long can you continue terrorism for? I mean, we're talking about 20 years now. I mean, you know, so I'm thinking that you may be onto something, your characterization of what's happening. Yeah.
Well, I thought about it many times, and it's the only thing that I see that makes sense. I know I can't believe that, you know, just one group of people are terrorists and the others are, you know, you know, just pure innocents. No, this we have to understand, and this does not at all excuse the acts of terror which are involved.
But on another side,
we're talking here about reconfiguring our thinking about what mm-hmm. it is we are witnessing. This is not just about a bunch of crazy guys with guns. This is a whole different thing we're seeing here.
Yeah, but not
imagine,
that, but
imagine we just heard from Ali talking about people going crazy on the east side. I mean, on the east side, although this happens on the west side of Manhattan. But it tells you something about when you talk about terrorism, this is what people understand. This is what's going to happen to them. We need to understand this is warfare. This is warfare. It wasn't 9 people who were attacked. It wasn't the 12 people who were injured. It was the whole country being attacked by in asymmetrical warfare fashion. That's what we need to understand. The United States refuses to acknowledge that.
Right, and there are bodies of people who see the reverse of that, who see themselves being attacked in similar circumstances, yeah?
Yes.
You know, the argument that what happened recently in Syria, this town that was almost flattened, you know, there were parallels. Somebody draw a parallel between what happened there in Dresden, for instance, you know? So I think you're making a critical insight today about seeing this here as warfare, instead of this criminal thing element of terrorism only. You know, it has to be something more than that if it's going to, you know, and the United States started Al-Qaeda and all this stuff, you know? I think there may be something onto your characterization of this. And that characterization may better help us to understand what we are dealing with. You know, we will have more clarity if we can see this as a war as opposed to, you know, criminal act in itself. Yeah,
that's right. And that's exactly what I'm hoping that we could get to understand that this is warfare.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
terrorism, it's warfare.
Yeah, but you should have a look at what Ken Weezy has to say about the slave epoch, you know, and how it relates to what you were saying about the nature of warfare.
How is his last name spelled?
He has a real name, but he goes by Ken Weezy. It's Chinewzu. Yeah, Ken Weezy. If you go on YouTube, you'll find some of his work. Ken Weezy. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I certainly will follow through. Thanks a lot.
Right, okay. You're welcome, Mike.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I hope that it encourages you to do 2 things. One is to revisit or to visit the history of terrorism in the United States. Going back to the 1700s, now that was terror. And interestingly enough, much of it connected with warfare and war. Not in isolation, much of it coming out of the Civil War, for example, you see so many instances of terror conducted and coinciding with the Civil War. Of course, you have many examples of people just doing terroristic acts, many of them, again, attached to some military unit and having experienced some kind of war or warfare themselves. So check that out, the history of terrorism in the United States. And number two, to really pay attention to how these things are being reported. Yesterday's event, how was it covered? What was said? Pay attention to it, because we'll come back to it. Hopefully by Friday, we'll have some exchanges on that question. So I want to thank you so much for listening today. And it's just to bring to your attention that we really do have to get involved in the way we think. I mean, to actively be involved in the way we think and not just accept what is being told to us, because there's a vested interest in keeping us calm and out of the area of knowledge. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Ring of Fire Radio. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.